Well, today we're going to continue our series, Overcoming Tough Times. Last week we talked about the God of more or less and how God is the God of more or less. That when it comes to Scripture, that God oftentimes is so exact of what He was saying that we must exactly do what He's talking about in order to receive the blessing that He has for us. But we've seen in the Scripture where God says where two or three gather together. It can be more, it can be less. But when we come together and give God everything, it's the everything. Sometimes my everything is a lot less than it used to be. Sometimes my passion is a lot less than it used to be. Sometimes my finances are a lot less than it used to be. Sometimes my will, my energy is a lot less than it used to be. But when I come and give everything I have to the Lord, whether it's less or whether it's more, it doesn't make a difference. When we give it all to the Lord, that He comes running to us and He wraps His arms around us and He meets us where we're at. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, praising God, learning to praise through the valley, learning to praise through the valley. Let's go right into our text, Psalm 6, chapter 76, verse 1. It says, in Judah, everybody say Judah. And say it one more time, say Judah. Come on, you can do better. Say Judah. There you go. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel, and Salem, also His tabernacle, and His dwelling place is Zion. There He broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword of the battle, Selah. Now, when it says Selah, it actually means think about these things. What's saying? Ponder on these things. In Judah, God is known. We know the word Judah translates in the Bible to the word praise. So we can put that word Judah, we can exchange it for the word praise. In praise, God is known. Now, if I don't say another word all morning long, some of you can get this right in your heart and know this is exactly what God's wanting you to know. In praise, God is known. In praise, God is known. Then it goes on to talk about that His name is great and where His dwelling places are. Then He says He broke, talking about God, He broke the arrows, He broke the shield, and He broke the sword. Until you are mature enough to connect with God in praise and worship, you'll never experience the fullness of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Till we are mature enough to connect with God in our praise, in our worship, we'll never experience the fullness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is so multifaceted. Yes, it starts with the beginning of giving my heart to the Lord, but it doesn't end there. It comes through a process of maturing and growing. It's a journey that we're on, as we talked about earlier in the year. And as we're learning to give our lives away to the Lord, one of the things that we are called to do is to connect with God in worship, to connect with Him in praise. It's in praise that God will reveal Himself. It's in praise that God will reveal Himself to me. It's praise that God says He will break the arrows, the shield, and the sword of the battle. Look, He says, in Judah, in praise, God is known. And when we praise, what happens there? He broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword of battle. What's He talking about? He's saying when the enemy comes against you and is shooting arrows at you, how many of you ever felt like you had the enemy shooting at you? You know, in your spirit, the enemy was just shooting arrows at you as fast as he can get them off. He's shooting arrows. He's wanting to attach to your body. He's wanting to attach spirits to you that have discouragement, of depression, of giving up, maybe spirits of addiction, things that he's trying to shoot at you and you're trying to overcome in your life. It says through praise, those arrows are broken. The shield of his defense is broken. The sword, his weapon, is broken. So you want to break the back of your enemy, learn to do it through praise. Because in praise, the back of our enemy is broken. In praise, he is defenseless. In praise, he can't stand a chance. Because God will fight your battles. For God will do what He needs to do when we begin to give Him praise, even through the valley. It's Isaiah that said what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He said He would break the battle in my favor. Look what he says. Not only is the arrows broken, not only is the shield broken, not only is the sword broken, but God says this, in praise, the battle is broken. Some of you this morning, you need to get this right down in your heart, right in your spirit. In praise, the battle is broken. Some of you have been battling these things for a long time. Some of you have been battling addiction. Some of you have been battling depression. You've been battling a spirit of heaviness coming on you, trying to stop ministry, trying to stop your family, your marriage, and things happening there. How do you break that battle? You break it through praise. You break it through a praise in your life. God, I refuse to stay in this valley depressed. God, I'm going to walk through my valley with Judah, with praise in my heart. I'm going to walk declaring Judah, declaring praise, because when I declare praise, I am putting what? I am breaking the battle. Isn't that amazing? That when you praise the Lord, you have the power to break the battle that's going on in your heart. You have the power to break in your spirit what's happening. That's why I say all the time that we got to learn to praise God, not just on Sunday morning. But it's got to be on Monday morning when I'm driving to work. It's got to be during the afternoon. It's got to be on the drive home, in my car, in my workplace, in my school, that I am praising the Lord. Sometimes it's loud. Sometimes it's just in my heart because I'm in a public place where I maybe cannot do that. But I can always have a praise saying, God, you are great. And God, you are bigger than my circumstance. God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. I'm going to praise you no matter what. King David, when he was ascended to the throne, when he was appointed not only king, but then he became and took over the throne, the first thing he did as king is he went and he got worshipers and praisers that worship around the Ark of the Covenant 24 hours a day. And their only job was to play music and to sing worship hymns around the Ark of the Covenant. We know the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament represents the glory of God. That's where the glory of God was housed. And we know that God's presence was real. And so we see where David knew this as king, in order for him to prosper in battle, in order for him to prosper in the kingdom, in order for him to prosper as a ruler, for him to prosper his country, that their praise had to go forth. Because he knew when praise went forth, that God was doing the battle, that God was breaking the battle. And he would oftentimes, he would send out the worshipers and the praisers ahead of the army. They would worship God, declaring, this battle is broken for the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We see the story here of David and Goliath. Awesome story. And we see where Goliath was with the Philistines. And we see where David was a young man, the shepherd boy. He went to bring some cheese and crackers to his brothers in the army. And Goliath's there trying to intimidate God's people, the Philistine. Look what it says here. The Philistine, verse 3, stood on the mountain on one side. And Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. So we have Israel on one side, we had the Philistines on the other side of the mountain. And in between, there was a valley between them, okay? It's important we realize there was a valley in between them. And the champion went out from the camp of Philistine. His name was Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That translates to about 9 feet our height, in our measurements. 9 foot tall. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me." He's screaming this out twice a day, in morning and night. He's screaming out, "Come to me, come to me, send him out." Let's go to the next slide. We must determine that my valley doesn't belong to intimidation. We see what was happening here was Goliath was coming out to the children of Israel, and he was yelling in the morning. And at night, he was yelling, "Send out your best. You can't beat me." That's what he's saying. And he's out there with all of his armor. He had the biggest and the best armor. He's 9 foot tall. He's huge. And all these things happen. It's all right, guys. I'll get that breaker right in the very back, right behind you, Chris, that last box on the very left side. Tom, if you give him a hand. There we go. So much power this morning. We set the lights out right away, man. The anointing's in this place. But what is happening here is we see Goliath trying to intimidate. He's trying to, before the battle ever happened, what happened? Goliath is trying to intimidate the people of God. He's trying to intimidate them. He's sending out your best. Where are you? Hey, come on, let's fight. And he stands over the valley trying to intimidate you and I. It still happens today. When we're going through the valley, Satan will wear out his head and say, "Hey, where are you at? Look what you're going through. Where's your God now?" Hallelujah. Let's see what happens. Say, amen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we know that Goliath was there, and he was screaming out intimidation over the valley. First of all, listen, when you learn to praise the Lord through your valley, you must determine that my valley doesn't belong to intimidation. What that means is when I walk through my dark time, when I'm walking through a time when I know I'm going through a valley, I refuse to be intimidated. I refuse to allow myself to be intimidated by the enemy. Now, from a young age, my father taught me this principle. From a very young age, my father taught me the principle that I am to be a person who is not intimidated. And he would teach me this principle. As a matter of fact, he bought me a set of boxing gloves for he and I for Christmas one year at a very young age. And he would sit on his knees, and he'd make me box them. And if I ever thought I was getting good, he would always let me know, bam, that I wasn't that good. And, but what he was trying to teach me was not to be intimidated. And he taught me a principle at a very young age. That, now, remember, this is back in my day, okay? He would teach me that, you know, you better never start it, son. If you do, you're in trouble. You better show respect. You better obey your teachers. You better never pick a fight. But if somebody's trying to pick a fight with you and they're picking on you and they're intimidating you, don't you ever let anybody intimidate you. He drilled it in my head from the time I was young. I remember one time I had three boys who were older than I. They jumped me and they were trying to beat me up. My dad came around the corner and saw this happening. And their eyes got real big. And he pulled them off of me and said, hey, what are you boys doing? He said, one at a time right here. And he made me fight these boys one at a time with him standing there. And they were older. So my dad was a very, very, very wise man that he was. He picked the smallest one first. I thought he was real tough with his three friends. And he made him go one-on-one, of course, you know, right there. And he cried and quit. And the other one, I had to fight the next one. And he quit and cried when I got done, okay? And my dad was smart because he knew the last guy who I probably couldn't beat up was much older than I was. By that time, he looked and said, do you want some of this too? Or do you want to go? He said, I don't want it anymore. And he left, you know. My dad was losing the intimidation. You see what happened here? He said, don't let anybody intimidate you. I remember one time my dad was always like, son, just turn the other cheek. We were at the ball field one time, and this guy was much bigger than I was, and he was mouthing off to me, and he was saying this and that, trying to start a fight with me. My dad was like, son, just look the other way. I mean, just go the other way, son. Just go ahead. Matter of fact, he sent me ahead of time. He said, go to the car. As soon as practice, he said, go to the car. I don't want you even talking to this guy after practice. I know what's going to happen. And we got in the car to leave, and this guy ran to the car, and he called my dad a few names I had never heard of in my life. I learned things about words I'd never heard of. He's come out of his mouth. I still to this day don't even know some of the words that I understand what he said out of his mouth. They were so filthy. And my dad slammed on his brakes. He said, son, get out of the truck. He made me stand up to this guy, you know. And I know he's taught me from a very young age that we don't let people intimidate you. Don't let people walk over you. Don't let people, you know, and I know some of you don't agree with that right now, and that's okay. And if you don't, please, don't send me an email this week. He's a pastor at First Assembly of God in Muskogee. Send them all to him this week. His number is 683-1822. Call him up and let him know you don't disagree with that. But he taught me not to be intimidated, okay? He taught me not to be intimidated. And I think from a very young age, and I tried to carry it over, even though I wasn't the toughest always, but there was something about I was not going to let anybody intimidate me. And I think it's the same way in our heart. We've got to learn the same way in our spirit as Christians that we are not going to let the enemy intimidate us. Because greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. We have no room for intimidation. We don't give up intimidation. We are to hold our valley with praise. Because we know through praise that we can break that spirit of intimidation. We can break any spirit of fear. That when we come to praise through Judah, God is known. And he is breaking forth the swords, the shield. He is breaking the battle. So we see David up there. He's up there facing Goliath. And we see things happening. Goliath is determined. Hey, man, I'm going to intimidate this valley. But if you want to win the battle, you've got to give your valley the praise. Let's keep up in the story. 1 Samuel 17. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Now, here we see the little shepherd boy facing the giant, the 9-foot giant, with all the armor, with everything. He's just out there with a slingshot, a few stones. And he's talking. He's on one mountaintop and the other's on the other mountaintop. And they're talking to each other. And Goliath is making his way to the valley. Come on, send your best. And David's looking down at him. Dude, you're messing with the wrong guy. Because this guy knows he's got a big brother. This guy knows who his daddy is. Do you know who your daddy is? All right, who's your daddy? You know who your daddy is. He knows who his daddy is. He says, I come to you. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. Now, let me tell you, this sermon is rated R for violence, okay? Just so you know ahead of time. It's rated R for violence. And this day, I will take your head from you. And this day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. Can you imagine David shouting this out? I think he did it with an Irish accent. I do. I believe he did it with an Irish accent. I don't know why. Every time I read the story, and I believe when he got done, he said, freedom! But he's out there, and he's shouting it out to Goliath. Dude, you're messing with the wrong guy. We're the children of God. We're the children of Israel, our house. And I know that even though you may come down to the valley to intimidate some of these guys, I'm not intimidated by you because I realize that God is bigger than who you are. My God, he defeated the lion. He defeated the bear. And today, God's going to give you into my hands. I'm going to cut your head off, dude. That's what he said. I'm going to feed your carcasses to the birds of the air. Go to the next slide, if you could. Look at what he says. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear. Because what? Because he breaks the battle. He breaks the sword. He breaks the spear. For the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to David. Look what David did. And David hurried and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David didn't just hide out and camouflage, hoping to get a lucky shot. He ran to the valley. He ran to the valley to meet his enemy. And it says that on the way, he took out the stone, and he slung it, hit the Philistine, knocked him over. Now listen to this. This is very important. When you are facing your enemy in the valley, when you're going through a dark time, it's not the time to run and hide. It's not the time just to sit and be still and know that he is Lord. You know, we know those times are all time and good timing. But when you're going through the valley, it's not the time to hide. It's when you're going through the valley the most time that you need to run and say, I'm going to meet my enemy head on. I'm going to face this thing head on. I'm going to face the spiritual attack in my life head on. I'm going to face my addiction head on. I'm going to face my problem head on. I'm going to face what the enemy's trying to do head on. Because I know if I will face it and I'll praise God to it and through it, that God's going to bring an end to the battle. God will break the battle. So when you're going through your dark time and you're going through your valley, say, I'm going to declare Judah over my valley. I'm going to run to it. David ran to the valley. He cuts off the head. This is something to realize. You realize that David uses the same sword that was meant to kill him to cut off the head of his enemy. Isn't that amazing? The same sword that was meant to kill him, he turns around and uses it to cut off the head of his enemy. That you and I, when we go to the valley and we begin to praise the Lord and say, we're going to declare Judah over our valley. We're going to declare Judah over our valley. We're going to praise the Lord that God will oftentimes take the very addiction that he was trying to use to kill your life and turn it around to cut off the head of your enemy. He'll try to take the very thing that happened in your marriage and he'll turn it around and give it back to you and it becomes a tool in your hands to cut off the head of the enemy. He'll take the very thing that tried to break your ministry, the very thing that tried to break your marriage, the very thing that tried to break your finances, and he'll take those things when we praise the Lord, when we give it to God, he'll take that very thing and give it right back to you as a weapon and you'll say, Satan, you meant to destroy me with this, but you know what? I'm taking it back and I'm going to declare Judah over my valley. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to help others who are facing the same problems I am. I'm going to help other marriages. I'm going to help other people. I'm going to help other people who are going through the same thing. And I'm going to share my testimony how God brought me out of my valley. I'm going to share my testimony how I declared Judah over my darkness. I declared Judah over my valley. And God brought deliverance. And I'm going to take what Satan meant to destroy. Satan wanted to cut my head off. But instead, I'm taking that thing back. And I'm going to use it for God's glory. And it's become a weapon in the Lord's hand. And cut off the head of the enemy. That's what David did. He cut off the head of his enemy. It says he took off the head. Can you imagine him slinging that head around? All that. You know what I'm talking about, hanging out from below there. Eyeballs frozen, stuck in at you. I mean, it was like Goliath eyeballs. These wasn't just little bitty marble. These are big old things, you know. Look at these big old baseball-sized eyes in that head, and he's slinging it around. Can you imagine being the shepherd boy walking through the camp of Israel? Where are you going? Oh, I'm heading to my tent. And he goes back to his tent, and he takes David's head, and he puts it on a post in his tent. You say, that's kind of gruesome, Pastor. It was. But David wanted the whole nation of Israel to know that if you will serve God and you will not be intimidated, God will give you the head of your enemy. Woo, hallelujah, all right. He took the head to his tent. You see, today, I want to praise you and come on back if you would this morning. He took the head and cut it off. He refused to be intimidated. You see, it was Satan that 2,000 years ago, the Satan was shouting to God in heaven and say, send me a man. Send me someone to fight. Send me someone to do battle with. And that God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And Jesus ran to the battle. Upon the cross, we know that he gave us life, but even before then, he spent 40 days in the garden battling as he's fasting and he's praying to the Lord. He spent 40 days battling. When he got done, he declared to Satan, man, get behind me. And he declared the word of the Lord over his life and would not allow Satan to defeat him. And when he went to the cross, and his hands were willingly nailed to the cross, his feet were willingly nailed to the cross, he was saying to Satan, you know what? I'm not afraid to do battle with you. Satan, you don't intimidate me. And it says that when they buried him, that Jesus went down. He was buried. And so at that time that Jesus went down to the gates of hell, took back the keys that belonged to the kingdom, and brought them back in resurrection power. And said, Satan, you have no power over me or my children again. Do you realize it was that Calvary, the place of Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of the skull that the enemy's head was severed of power in our life. We do not have to walk around intimidated. We do not have to give ground to any addiction in our life. We don't have to give ground to any problem in our life. We don't have to give ground to anything. If we will stand up and say, God, I'm going to praise you through my valley. God, I refuse to let anything happen other than I want to declare Judah over my situation. Fill your valley with praise. Fill your valley with praise. Declare it that I am filling my valley with praise. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. How many want to declare right now? Say, Pastor, I'm going to declare and fill my valley with praise. Just raise your hand where you're at. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm going to fill my valley with Judah. I'm going to fill my valley with praise. This morning, we're going to close with a song that says, Our God is greater. What an appropriate song this morning. Our God is greater than any valley that we know. That when we fill this place with Judah, with praise, when you fill your heart, your home with praise, that something is breaking in your life today, I want you to declare it in your spirit today. Over my spirit, over my valley, I'm declaring Judah in Jesus' name.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome and powerful. power, our God, our God. Water can turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Sing that again, our God.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Thank you.
coach fifth grade football this year, tackle football. And one of the things I used to do with my kids, if I knew we were going to a game that the other team was pretty good, I would tell our team, when we get ready to run back on that field, I would huddle them up right before the game started. I said, as soon as we run to the field, we're going to run together, and we're going to let out the biggest scream you've ever let out in your life. And so what I would do is tell these kids, I'd say, why don't you run down there in that field, and while you're running, I want you to scream like you mean business. And these kids would take off down into the field, and they come running on the field, rah! I mean, they're screaming as loud as they can. You can see the other team like, oh my God, what's happened? These boys, they're only in fifth grade. So they're like, what have we come into? I can see intimidation already starting to happen in our life. Now, how many know in our life, sometimes we just got to give out a shout. Sometimes we just need to give out a shout saying, you know what, God? I refuse to be intimidated by the enemy. I refuse to let the enemy push me around long enough. Some of you, you've been pushed around in your marriage. You've been pushed around in your children and your finances and ministry and addiction and things in your life that's been going on. Whatever it is that you've allowed the enemy to intimidate you. And today, I'm declaring over you. Today, I'm prophesying over you that God is going to give you a new day, a new season. So on the count of three, we're going to shout to the Lord. We're going to give him the biggest clap, the biggest shout we can. And we're going to let the enemy know that he cannot have our valley. But our valley belongs to Judah, the praise to the Lord. So we're going to praise the Lord on the count of three. Are you ready? One, get your hands ready. Two, lift up your voices. Ready? Three, hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. God, we belong to you today. We belong to you today, Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Father, we praise you today, God. With you this week? Are you ready to take Judah with you this week? How many say, I'm going to declare in my car, in my home, in my work, in my school, in my neighborhood, I'm going to declare Judah. I'm going to declare Judah. I'm going to declare Judah in everything I do this week, man. What a powerful time this morning. It doesn't end right here. It just starts. This is just the beginning of what God's wanting to do in your life. You declare Judah over every situation in your life today. Justin's going to come this morning. Justin closes out in prayer as we go with the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, God, for the word that you've declared over our lives, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that as we go through this week, we will look at our issues and declare that we come in the name of the Lord and that we will not be afraid, that we will not be intimidated. Devil, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't know the hornet's nest that you stirred up. We come in the name of the Lord and we declare victory. victory right now in Jesus' name. No matter what we're looking at, we declare victory, and we go forth carrying high the name of the banner of the Lord in every problem, in every situation. We declare your name. We declare your word that you are greater and that you are higher, God. And Lord, we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.